Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And it is the week of the fair. It's exciting. We've got kids in schools. Buses are rolling. And I brought in a pretty amazing guest for today who is taking time out of her many visits all around the district to all the different schools, our superintendent, Dr. Monica Goyette.
Good morning.
Thanks, Monica, for being here.
I'm very excited.
So, Monica, in the beginning of the school year, you spend a lot of time out in the community starting to talk about this school year and what the school board is looking at and what your objectives are and the things that are the most important to the school district. So I was hoping we could run through some of the big ideas for the school district for this year. And the one that is at the top of your agenda right now is enrollment. So let's start there. So let's talk about enrollment.
I think enrollment is a great place to start, Jillian. And it's really a mini census for our community in knowing how we're doing economically, if we're growing. And so we're about 200 students right now under our projection, which is very typical for this time of year. We grow pretty steadily through the fair time. And our official count with the state of Alaska doesn't start until October 1st. So we projected just over 19,000 students, and we believe that we'll be slightly past that projection, which is a good indicator that things might be starting to pick up again here in the valley, and enrollment is doing well. One area that really concerns me, however, is our poverty level. Our poverty level has also grown quite significantly over the last 15 years. In the early 2000s, we were about 30%, and this year we're at 44%. So if you think about it, it used to be one out of three students was living in poverty, and now almost every other child sitting in our classrooms is living in poverty.
I've heard you talk about this before. Can you explain to listeners what you mean when you say poverty? What does that look like for a family?
So for our district, it means that they qualify for free or reduced lunch.
Okay.
To qualify for a reduced lunch, a family of four makes about $30,000.
Okay.
So certainly, you know, that is a fair amount of money. But, you know, when you're done paying all your bills, there probably isn't a whole lot left. And I think when our students are living in poverty, parents are, you know, probably struggling to pay the bills. They certainly they're working hard. They might be working two jobs. And to have the time to sit and work with students on homework might not always be there. And so we really need to make sure that we're giving students all the resources that they need to learn. And that includes feeding them breakfast and lunch.
The district has a lot of programs to support families that are struggling with resources. I was wondering if you could just spend a little bit of time talking about if there are listeners right now that know of families or are a family themselves that could use some support, where they could go for resources inside the district.
Yeah. So we have several staff that work in the Families in Transition program. And so if they just contact district office, and you can think of it as the FIT program, if you just ask for a FIT coordinator, then we will talk to you about all the resources that are available, including transportation. One of the things that I think is really important for families living in transition is that kids, they might have lost their home temporarily, but we don't want them to lose their school as well. And so they have a right to have transportation to their home school that they originally started with, and we will provide that for them.
One of the things that you mentioned too is free and reduced lunch. And one of the, what I think is amazing is when I sit in meetings, what I love hearing from yourself and from our assistant superintendents is that there's this it's such a priority that our students are fed and that they are taken care of. And so if folks know of families that could use support with even with just lunch, or maybe it is breakfast, and there are even some of our schools that provide dinner for some of our students, contact an administrator. There are forms that we can get to those families so that every kid eats.
Absolutely. And if you think for some reason that you might not qualify, but you need the assistance, definitely talk to your principal. We can help with that as well.
So with the other big idea that I've heard you start talking about this year was our return on our investment. So funding change for us last year was a big deal for us in the fiscal 18 year. And now we're getting to what are taxpayers, what are our citizens getting on their return for their investment in the school district? And I was wondering if you could just take us through some of that.
So this is an area that I'm really excited to be celebrating all throughout the Valley as I go around and talk. And as you know, we're coming just off a conversation on poverty. One of the things that we know is our students are coming in pretty low. A lot of students are not having access to preschool. And so our kids, on average, are coming in around the 20th percentile in the nation. And what that means is if you lined up 100 students, we'd be the 20th. So they're really struggling. And by 10th grade, we're getting them up in the 70th and even lower 80th percentile, which is tremendous gain. And so we're very excited about that. We've worked very hard on a common curriculum across the district. So if students are moving from school to school, we have a lot of additional intervention classes. We have after-school tutoring support. And so we're very pleased about the progress that we're making with our students from kindergarten on up through graduation.
So do we have data that shows these numbers? And what kind of data are we using so that folks understand where we draw numbers from?
So we use an assessment called the Measure of Adequate Progress, MAP testing, for parents and students. And we've been using it for over a decade. It is a national assessment, which we really like. I think it's very good for parents to know how their kids, how their third grader might be doing compared to third graders in the lower 48. So for that reason, I really like that. We've had quite a bit of transition with our state assessment. And so this is a stable indicator that we have a lot of longitudinal data on, a history of data.
We have more than 10 years, is that right, in the district?
That's correct.
Okay. So how are we doing then? How does it look for us?
So it looks great. So kids are coming in around the 20th percentile, and in 10th grade, it's the last grade that we test the whole grade. They're around the 79th to the 81st percentile in math and reading.
Excellent. So what are some other data points that we use to show success for our students?
So all roads lead to graduation. That is our ultimate goal. And we are thrilled with our graduation rate data. So if you look at a 10-year history, in 2010, we were at 70% of our students were graduating. So 7 out of 10 kids were walking across the stage. And this year, our projection, it'll be official in October for the 2018. So last spring in May, 83%. It's a 13%
increase. Oh, that's a big gain.
Yeah. And we believe that we can continue to make this incremental increases that we've been doing. And so we're very excited. But that also means that 17% of our students are not graduating, 1 out of 6. And so we are very pleased with our progress, but we are far from satisfied.
What are some of the things that we can attribute to that huge gain in graduation rates?
I think one of the single biggest factors is that we allow choice in our district. And so students and parents can pick what school they want to go to. They can even pick a couple schools. Maybe there's a welding program at one school and a marching band and a great math teacher at a third school that they want to go see. And so they're welcome to do that and put together a program that works best for them. And for me, I believe that spirit of choice is exemplified the most when a family has their own children doing different things.
We've had
families that maybe their elementary student is in a charter school, and they have one student doing homeschool. It just works better for them, and one in a traditional brick and mortar school. So to me, that's when we really have communicated out across our valley what all the choice options are for our students.
I want to jump back a little bit to enrollment and choice, because I think that I've heard you talk about this before, where how many of our families are choosing schools other than their local neighborhood boundary school?
So about a third of our families choose something other than their local school, and that's either through a charter school application, homeschool, a boundary exemption request, and or a magnet school like career and tech. And so, which is great to me. I love that they have that, but also that two-thirds of our families like their neighborhood school. There's always going to be a place for that community school in your backyard. And so I love that they're thriving and that different options meet different people's needs.
I think that just shows really the even just some of the health of the district, of where people, there are a lot of people who want to see, they wanted these options. They wanted the charter schools. They wanted the programs. They wanted blended learning. They wanted homeschool options. But I love that we're still got kids on buses going to the local school that's right down the street. So that's exciting. Choice is a big conversation nationally. And I just was hoping that you could explain to people just the difference of in that conversation of the national conversation and then what we have here in the district.
So nationally, the conversation is really divided. There's people that believe in public education, and then there's people that want a voucher system that would allow people basically to take a certain amount of taxpayer dollars and purchase either private or religious, faith-based education or public education. And we feel like it doesn't need to be a divisive conversation, that you can offer both within the public education system. We have families that are co-enrolled. They're in faith-based schools, and they attend Matsu Central, our home school. And so they are able to do their faith-based curriculum there and then do non-faith-based coursework through Matsu Central. And so I think that everybody should have choice.
One of the things we have, last week I had Matsu Middle College in here, and we were talking about their program. And one of the things that when I was talking to you about Matsu Middle College and just, you know, what that program has to offer our students, there was something you said that I thought was amazing. And it's really resonated with me over the past week, is that you wanted our community members to know that Matsu Middle College exists and that they're choosing not to go that, not that they didn't know that it was available. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about that with choice.
So Matsu Middle College, what happens is students are over at the Matsu campus. We moved out there 2 years ago, and they are taking college courses, but those college courses also count towards their high school diploma. So it's dual credit opportunity. One course counts towards their transcript, towards graduation requirements, and also for building their transcript for a degree and in the college setting. And we pay for that with taxpayer dollars. It does not cost us any more money to send a student from Matsu College as it does to send them to Colony High School. And so we've had some concern out there that we are taking resources away from students. We're not. It does not. It is the allotment that they get between state dollars and local dollars. And I think it's an incredible opportunity. College tuition is skyrocketing. And for our families to be able to have the first 2 years of college paid for their students is a gift and might make college available for some students that it wouldn't have been available for without the middle college.
That's wonderful. So this is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the public information officer with the Matsu Borough School District, and I'm in the studio with our superintendent, Dr. Monica Goyette. And we're just talking about some of the big ideas that Dr. Goyette is tasked with from the school board and what we're looking out for the 2018-2019 school year. So this time of year, Dr. Goria, you spend a lot of time going to community events, Rotary and Chambers. And one of the other things that a lot of folks talk to you about is what can community members do to support schools?
I love this question. And I have three things that they can do that don't cost any money or a minimal amount of money. The first is simply to know about our choice options. If you know kids that are in high school, ask them if they know about the middle college. If they're going into a young family and they're just starting their public education, know that they can choose to go to a variety of different schools. We have charter schools, we have their neighborhood schools, and they can request a boundary exemption if they want to go closer to where they work. Buses go by businesses as well as by homes, and so children are allowed to get on our buses wherever parents might need them to do that. So just know about choices and champion them in our community. The second thing is really encourage just some basic things to help kids be ready for schools. And there's two things that I would really encourage is ask every student if they know if they're right-handed or left-handed. That really means that they're working on a dominant hand with those fine motor skills. What hand do they eat with? Are they coloring all the time? For business people, have a little station for little kids where they can be coloring and building those muscles that they need in their fingers to be able to learn how to write when they come to us. And of course, reading. Encourage every family, have books everywhere, give books away as gifts, and really encourage that they're just ending the day every day with reading a book to students. And then the last one is the cost of a ticket. Attend any event. Our kids love it when the community comes out to support them, whether it's an athletic event, a musical concert, play. But please come out and see how talented our students are.
I remember listening to Jeremiah Bartz one time just talk about how important it is for kids to have those experiences where they have the anticipation of a big group of people coming to see what they do and how that teaches so many skills that's just beyond the classroom. So I love that, and I think that's such a great invitation. Come out and see what our kids are doing. So we just have a few minutes left, and I was wondering, Dr. Gray, if there's anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners and all of our families.
So school has been off to a fantastic start. Everywhere I go, everyone is so positive, and our routines and structures are in place so quickly. Kids are just right down to business, right out of the gate. But our school family is not complete. Tomorrow, our kindergartners start, and I'm so excited for that. So all the kindergartners out there, I hope you have a wonderful first day of school. And then next week, our preschoolers join us. So our family is not complete, but once all of the little ones join us, then we'll be hitting the school year in full stride.
If folks ever want to talk to the Office of the Superintendent, please give our main line a call, 746-9200. There are folks there to help you and get answers to the questions that you may have. And also always feel free to visit us online, matsuk12.us, or like us on Facebook or Twitter so you can follow and see what's happening in the MATSU. Thank you, Dr. Goyette, for coming in.
My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the MATSU schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.